Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
It's E4. Hey, what is up? Welcome to E4 2019. That's right, the E4 production is back. This is what, like 14 years of it now or something ridiculous?
I feel like we should be dead.
Yes. We're pretty close, honestly.
Look, here's the thing. I say this a lot on this show, but every year that we make it back to E3, and I get really excited, and I start posting stuff on Facebook, we inevitably get a note from somebody that knows us that says, "You guys are still doing that show?" Like, that's the response. You guys are still doing that show?
Yep.
Like, grow up! But we refuse to grow up.
As we get older, and just talking about how feeble we are at this point in our lives. And
And boy, I'm feeble.
Anyway, I'm Tommy. That's Jamie. You know us. We're doing stuff a little bit differently, just slightly differently, but we're taking a little bit different approach to E3 this year because of a couple things. We're not together yet. We're going to be in the same room a little bit later next week, but we're going to do a chunk of stuff remotely to start with. And so a little bit because of that, and really honestly more so just because the format of E3 is really changing. What we've done for the past several years, where we have seven shows pretty predictably every E3, we're gonna stray from that a little bit, and you're actually gonna end up with more shows from us during this E3, because what we're gonna do is just really dedicate a show to each either kind of newsy thing that happens or to each publisher company, whatever. And so we're doing this show, this first E3 show, about Google, believe it or not, which is, I don't know, a year ago, probably not what we would have been planning. But we're going to talk about Stadia in this one because they already did a Stadia event. We're doing E3 coverage starting really on Friday before E3, which is kind of nuts. But we've got EA doing stuff tomorrow. They're not doing a traditional press conference, but we've got Star Wars presentation tomorrow. And so obviously we'll want to talk about that. We've got Microsoft coming up on Sunday. We've got, I think, Bethesda's on Sunday, Devolver's on Sunday. We've got UB and Square on Monday. We've got Nintendo. We've got lots of stuff coming. So we're probably going to end up with 10 or 12 shows this year, which will be cool. They'll probably be a little bit shorter, but overall, you're probably going to get more content from us this E3 than you have the past E3s. And so that's exciting. And it is, you're absolutely right, this really fun time of year that we're always geeked about, regardless of us getting old and feeble and pathetic.
We are. For crying out loud, I felt awful for the last 2 days, and I turned on the mic, and now I'm like this.
It's magic, like, man. It just heals
you. That's what it does. It's absolute magic.
So, all that said, we're going to jump right in and talk about Google Stadia, that they did what they're calling Stadia Connect, and so everybody's doing these very similar things. Like Nintendo kind of set the bar for, I would say Nintendo set the bar. I mean, they're obviously,
they did it again.
Yeah.
They did it. They did what they always do.
God bless Nintendo.
And they did the Nintendo thing, and then everybody else is like, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. So now we've got State of Play from Sony. We have Stadia Connect, and EA's not doing a traditional press conference. They're doing their EA Play thing. So yeah, it's where we are. And again, just different format calls for different approach to things. So all that said, let's talk about Stadia, what we learned about it, because of course we already knew Stadia was a thing, but we've got some more details now. We can go through what those details are. So let's start with kind of top line. I think most important things, and then we'll talk about some of the other details as we go through. But I think let me mention the plan right now is for this to launch in the fall. I think November is when they're planning to launch this. So we have a release date, and we also have some details on price. And I think that's probably the big question, that software and then the technical side of it, which of course the technical side of it's a big question mark always. But what we didn't know was the price and what games we would get. And so let's talk about the price first. And there's still some big question marks about this, but what essentially you have is either a base subscription, which is free, or a pro subscription, which is $10 a month. And the difference being that the base doesn't actually really get you anything. I don't even know. Like, you have to sign up for an account and that kind of stuff. But it doesn't get you anything in and of itself, other than access to the Stadia platform, which is their, you know, cloud-based console, essentially. The pro version gets you, of course, access, as well as additional free games released regularly. The first one going to be Destiny 2. And so with the pro subscription, you get access to Destiny 2 when this thing launches in the fall, which is pretty cool. And that comes with all the add-ons, everything else. They also announced cross-save. And so if you have a Guardian already on another platform, you'll be able to bring that over to Stadia to play on Stadia. You don't have to start from scratch, which is a good thing. And this includes Sony. That was kind of the big news. It's like, even Sony's on board with this, even if you're playing on the PlayStation 4, you'll be able to transfer over to Stadia. So that's the kind of two tiers. So here's the big question mark. You don't get access to the whole library, apparently. And this is where I'm seeing a lot of confusion online, is it seems like a lot of people are assuming that $10 a month gets you access to all the games. That's not what it sounds like.
It should.
We can have that discussion here in a second. I would love it if it did. But this is really the way I'm looking at it, is Stadia Pro is a lot like PlayStation Plus or Xbox, not Game Pass, but they're free games that you get monthly from Xbox Live. They have another name for it. I never remember. Anyway, it's like that. It's like every month you get a free game or a free couple of games that you can play as long as you have your subscription activated, I'm sure. So $10 a month gets you access to that game. Now, Destiny 2 is a fairly big game. That's cool. Like, that's a good one to have there. And again,
that's
with
4 years old, man,
all the content on there. But I mean, they're still putting out new content. They're still like, it's still a living game. It's a perpetual game, right? So it's not like blow your socks off, but for $10 a month to get access to Destiny and other stuff, like, okay, I can see the argument there, just like I can see the argument for PlayStation Plus, which I pay for, or EA Access, which I pay for. You know, like, there's an argument to be made there. But it's not a you pay a monthly fee for a full access game streaming service. You still got to buy games on this thing as well if you want to play other titles that aren't the free ones. And so I think that's the big point that people are missing, and I feel like is a big point that you have some contention with.
Well, here's something. I love Google, and I love this tech. We say it every year at E3, we love tech, right? And this is awesome tech because you've seen it, you've played it, you know it works. But it's not perfect, right?
Absolutely.
And it's not going to be perfect for a long time. Long time. And the way that I feel about this is, yeah, they got great games. But every game they got, I can play somewhere else, right? Like, I can get it on Steam. I can get it on the Epic Store. I can get a zillion other places. So what is my reasoning for playing on essentially the Google Cloud? And I understand you don't have a rig, you want to play on a laptop, whatever. But we haven't talked about the price of the Pro Pack, which is what really bothers me, because the price of the Pro Stadia is essentially a console. And then after 3 months, you pay them $10 a month.
Well, the Stadia Founders Edition, which is what I think you're talking about, it's $129 or $130. So it's still a lot cheaper than even, I mean, you go out and find a used PlayStation 4, Xbox One for that, I'm sure. But that's still half the price of what a retail console is. And that gives you the controller and a Chromecast. And so if you care about those things, and if you want, the other thing they're selling it on is that you get first dibs at a username. So if you want to, like, have whatever username that's going to be highly sought after, this $130 gets you there. But honestly, like, as somebody who has an Xbox controller that'll work with this thing and has plenty of ways to play. I don't need a Chromecast. Would be cool, whatever. Like, the Founders Edition thing doesn't matter to me, right? Like, you don't need the Founders Edition if you already have a controller in your house and a screen that already is connected to the internet in some way that can run a Chrome browser. That's ultimately what you need.
Right. And here's the problem. If you don't have, if you don't do the Founders Edition and you pay $10 a month, it sounds to me like you're paying $10 a month to get access and you bring your own controller. And then you're paying full price for any of these games that you want to buy a la carte. That's my problem.
And that's my big question. That's my lingering question about this thing is how much are they going to sell software for on this platform? Now, you don't have to pay the $10 a month to buy software. Like, those are two separate things. The $10 a month is giving you the free monthly games, again, like PlayStation Plus. So you can pay nothing and still buy games on the service and whatever. I would obviously be very, very hesitant to pay $60 for a game on this service. And this is where I think the valid, like, I have other places to play it comes into play, because I do have a gaming PC. I do have a PlayStation 4. I don't have an Xbox One, but there's unlikely anything that's going to be on here that's only Stadia or Xbox and not also PC, right? And so it's very unlikely that I wouldn't have access to a game in another place. And so if you're charging me $60 for them on Stadia, I'm not going to buy them on Stadia. But $10 a month for, you know, some games that are a little bit older, but are, you know, again, it's the same rationale behind paying for the base level of the EA access.
Dude, the difference is the price.
What's the price for EA access?
It's $30 a year.
For the base level?
Yes. I know, because I paid it twice.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the, like, pro level is as well.
The pro is $15 a month.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the equivalent of what they're offering, which is the vault on EA, is $30 a year.
Right.
If you pay annually.
Yeah. Which you save a little bit if you do that instead of doing it month to month. Yes. Whatever. But yeah, but I mean, okay, fair enough. It's twice the price of what EA Access is. But like... It all depends on the software that they provide. And that's, again, the big question mark. We don't know what software is going to be part of that $10 a month. But if they put out, you know, whatever game I want to play on there for $10 a month, I'm not going to think twice about paying $10 a month for it. I will honestly give up EA Access a lot quicker because I barely use it. You know, again, as we've talked about this, it's $30 a year or whatever. So it's easy to justify. But it's also easy to give up if I'm not using it and put that money towards Stadia or whatever else. But it all depends on the games. I'm not into Destiny 2, and so I'm not going to pay $10 a month for Destiny 2 when the thing comes out. But if you tell me that I can play something else, and so let me get into the other software that they've announced will be on it. If you tell me I can play something else on this that I'm interested in for $10 a month, then sure, it's kind of a no-brainer for me at that point. And as that library grows, for me... And this is, I think, maybe the biggest point of all this. For me, where I know this already works because I've played a game on this service and really, really enjoyed it, was really impressed with it, and have played the same game not on this service, running locally off my hard drive, and I said this before on the show, I actually preferred playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey on Project Stream than I do playing it locally because I could multitask when I have it in a browser. At that point, it becomes easier for me to justify it. For a lot of people who don't have the bandwidth for it, of course not. Of course, this isn't for them. And that's perfectly fine. It's not a solve the problem of streaming for everybody yet. But it is, I think, a good next step. So really quick, the some of the big titles I'll mention, some of these I hadn't heard of before, but some of the big titles that they've mentioned that are going to be available on Stadia, again, these are not part of the pro $10 a month necessarily, But these are the games that they're going to ultimately pull from for those. Doom Eternal, Destiny 2, we already talked about, Metro Exodus, Final Fantasy 15, Rage 2, all the new Tomb Raider games, Elder Scrolls Online, The Division 2, all the Ubi games are here. Division 2, which is one I'm very interested in, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which I would imagine would be a free one pretty quickly since they already had it out for free for 2 months. Ghost Recon Breakpoint, NBA 2K, Borderlands 3, Mortal Kombat 11. Like, those are good, good games. There's solid AAA titles there. Now, again, what you have to pay to access them is the question mark. But the software for a brand new platform isn't bad. And if they were to give me one of those games that I am interested in at that $10 a month, say The Division 2 or Ghost Recon Breakpoint, that looks pretty cool, or Doom Eternal, that one probably not right now, but maybe in the not so distant future, then I would pull the trigger on it. I think at that point the software would make sense.
I have a hard time because if you open the vault right now, the EA vault right now, I wonder how many of those are, I should have pulled it up for the show, because I wonder how many of those are available right now in the vault.
Of those games?
Curiosity. Yes.
Well, none of those games, because none of those are EA games.
That's true.
Now, that's to true. Say that, EA does have non-EA games that show up on Origin, but I don't think any of those show up on the vault.
Okay. See, that's what I want to verify, because if those are available there and they're in the vault, like, why?
Sure, they're like, not.
Yeah.
But again, we're always going to have this question mark about, like, cross platforms of which ones you should pay for and which ones you shouldn't because of exclusives.
Here's my deal, okay? I know I sound curmudgeon-y. I'm really not, because I love this tech and I love Google. But what got me about this presentation was if they had come out and said, okay, we've got two or three exclusive games you can't play anywhere else and you got to do it on Stadia, I'm going to find a way to get more bandwidth. Because I got to try that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I got to try that. But right now, everything that they got, I can get somewhere else. And so, it's not urgent for me to find a way to try it.
Yeah, I think that's actually completely fair. There is, to me, nothing at this point about Stadia that makes me want to do it other than the fact that I've already done it and I know it works on my tech. You know, like you're absolutely right. There are not any games right now that are either exclusive to Stadia or I would say are available that we know of on the Stadia Pro subscription that I find, you know, worth paying for or would find worth paying for, you know, if I hadn't already had the experience of playing with the tech. It's something that I think will come in time if they find success in this. And I think that's Google's kind of calculation here is to see if they can be a player. And if they can, we know they have resources. They can start doing in-house development. They can go buy some developers to do stuff that's exclusive. But I'm honestly pretty thrilled that at this point, there's nothing that's exclusive to Stadia because I want to play all the games, even if I don't have Stadia, you know what I mean? Like, I want the tech to be better before they start doing anything that's, like, huge exclusive there. The one kind of big game announcement they had, they had a significant game announcement, a world premiere of Baldur's Gate 3, which
yes.
We knew was coming. It's not a surprise.
That's a big deal.
But the fact that that game was, like, world premiered in the Stadia event, it's like, to me, maybe more than anything else, it's just a really geeky game, right? Like, Baldur's Gate's not super mass appeal. Like, it's so D&D heavy, like RPG-ish. Like, you and I are, like, geeking out about that fact. And of course, it's going to be other places, too. Again, it's not going to be exclusive here. But the fact that they debuted, at least as far as I know, maybe there was somewhere else it was debuted before now. But I think that was the premiere of the kind of little teaser thing.
I gotta be honest, till I saw the name, I didn't know what it was.
I know, I didn't either.
I was like, what the crap is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I thought it was something else, like at first, before like the dude like started like transforming into like whatever. I didn't either. That's a significant game announcement that they had. Again, not exclusive, but good for them for at least getting something that was significant there. So, all that said, let's talk briefly about the other side of it, the tech side of it. And so, one thing that you do get if you pay for the Pro is you can get access to the 4K resolution. If you don't pay for the Pro, you only get 1080p. I like how I say only get 1080p at this point in time.
Chad's like, you gotta have 4K. I'm not playing it if it's not 4K.
Yeah. I don't have a 4K screen in any kind of proximity to my house, you know, like within 10 miles of my whatever. So I'm fine with that. But whatever, you can get up to 4K if you pay, and you can get surround sound, which if you don't pay the $10 a month, you only get stereo sound again. Yeah. But that's part of the tech. And so what they're saying, let me make very clear, what they're saying and what the reality is going to be are obviously different things. But what they're saying is that they can deliver the 4K 5.1 stream with an internet connection of 35 megs per second. And
no, you can't.
Yeah, that seems pretty unlikely. But even if so, this is the part again where like there's kind of this kind of deception by omission. Your internet speed's obviously awfully important for the success of this, but it's not the only thing that's important for the success of this. Your latency is also really important. Your stability of your internet connection is obviously really important. If you're not connected, hardwired, if you're doing this Wi-Fi, which are obviously trying to sell this on tablets and on, Chromecast and that kind of stuff. Like if you don't have a hardwired connection, that's going to play into your performance here. And so there are a lot of things that can make this difficult. I have a fiber gigabit internet connection that I have hardwired onto my PC. I'm going to be fine. And so I'm thrilled about that because I have the bones to do it. Most of the country has access to 35 megs per second internet. But I don't think they're going to get that performance steady. It's just overselling, I'm afraid, that like, oh, yeah, I can do a speed test and say I have, 40 megs per second down, but I'm not getting good performance off this thing because of all these other factors.
Well, let's take Dove, for example, which Dove's a great example of this. Dove has fiber at his house in Hawaii. I have no idea how they did that. Ran fiber across the. I don't know how they did that, but he tried Project Stream just like you did, and it would not work. He met the bandwidth requirements. The issue that he had was the ping.
Yep.
And that's gonna be my issue at my house.
Yep.
Is the ping? It's not about the bandwidth. I have. Well, I don't technically have 35, but I could get it. If I really, really wanted to, but it's still about the ping time for this service.
Yes.
And if your ping time doesn't match what they are trying to do, it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. That's a big component of this as well that I'm sure is buried in their tech spec somewhere or will be when they release more of those details. But at this point, isn't something that they're discussing and is a big variable that speed is not the only thing. And speed isn't constant. If your ISP tells you that you have a 35 meg connection, that doesn't mean you're getting 35 megs all the time.
What I think is interesting is your fiber is not constant.
Oh, yeah.
You
no,
have
not at
fiber
all.
Fiber to your house and it is not constant.
Yeah. I've never hit a gigabyte per second when I've speed test my internet connection. I don't think there's any expectation that will. I've hit 800 or 900 several times, which is pretty fun. But that again has to be a wired connection. If I'm on Wi-Fi, I get 200 megs per second. Again, I'm not complaining. Obviously, 200 megs per second is pretty darn good internet. But it is not consistent. There are so many variables regardless of what internet you have. And I've said I loved Project Stream. I played Assassin's Creed Origin a ton. I put 20 plus hours into Assassin's Creed Odyssey, on Project Stream and thought it was great, but it wasn't perfect. Like, it lagged on me. I had places where I mentioned before that, like, the thing that I most noticed is that the draw distance would drop for a few seconds if my connection lagged or something like that, and then it would pop back up. It was pretty quick, and didn't really affect the gameplay. It wasn't like the controls got slow. Like, control latency was never a problem, which I thought was really impressive. But there were issues with, you know, the graphics just kind of staggering for a bit and then popping back up. Not enough that it wasn't fun to play, but definitely enough that I'm not paying $60 for a game when that's going to happen. Like, even on my hardwired gigabit connection, still have times where there was dropout. You're always going to have that. And so the pricing, again, going back to that, I know that's repetitive, but I think that's the biggest thing here. If it's a brand new game, just like, if you price it at $40 or $30 and I could get it there instead of $60 on the PlayStation, maybe I consider it. But if you're giving it to me $60 both places, if I have another place to play it, I'm obviously going to go to that other place to play it.
And the thing is, you really, like, I want to steal something from my favorite tech guy, Leo. You know, I love Leo Laporte. I always have. And I don't watch him as much as I should. But one thing that he has always said that sticks with me is that Google and all of their services we get for free because we give them our information and they send us ads and all that.
Yes.
And he's willing to make that trade-off, as are you, as am I.
Yes.
Now you're asking me to pay for something, and if you're going to ask me to pay for something, okay, but your service has to be really, really, really good. And I don't know that they can do that.
The trick is, this is so dependent on the end user. And that's what I think is going to be the biggest struggle for something like this. And I think it's a good transition to the other point I want to make, which we'll get more answers to on Sunday. And that's what Microsoft is doing in this realm. And so I think Microsoft is in a unique place to really succeed with the streaming idea, because they also have the console. Like, they have the backup. Like, they have the, like, okay, if you don't want to stream it, we've got an alternative for you. And that's something right. that Google is lacking. Google doesn't have the console backup. Google doesn't say, okay, well, if it doesn't work here for you on Stadia, here's like the Stadia box. And that may be something they do. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But we don't have that yet. And so where I think Microsoft can, like, really blow the doors off of E3 so far, again, this is the only thing we have E3-wise so far, but really could make themselves stand out from this, is if they have that kind of hybrid approach to it, and if they say Game Pass is fully streaming. And with the games that you have on Game Pass, like, I'll pay whatever, you know? Like, especially if, like, whatever xCloud is on PC, if I can get, like, Game Pass games streamed on PC and it works as well as Stadia, then I'm going that direction. Buy Stadia. Like, I don't care, you know? Like, the fact that I would then have the Microsoft catalog with all their third-party support or whatever, that's way more appealing, even if it costs $20 a month or whatever.
Well,
it is,
look,
so.
And I told you, I said, the text that I sent you last night after I watched this was not enough software and it cost too much. And that's the thing. Microsoft has the library. That Game Pass library is getting bigger every day. And if they give me a reason to go there, I'm like, I'm not going to hesitate to go there. I haven't gone there yet because I have no need to really buy an Xbox. But if you give me a cheaper route, then absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that too. Lots of questions about what Microsoft does in that realm as well, and so we'll see. The idea of a subscription-based gaming service that is streaming is happening, though. Like, we're in the beginning stages of games being delivered more and more that way. Stadia is one example of that. Like I said, we're going to see another example of that with Microsoft. We're going to see probably another example of that. Sony's already tried it, too. I mean, it's not, again, none of this is completely new. But it's the direction that the industry is going. And so, if nothing else, what I think is great about Stadia is it's pushing the competition in that realm. The idea that Google is now in play here means that Microsoft has to work harder on their platform because they have competition for it. You know, it means Sony has to work harder on their platform because Google's a big player. You know, like the fact that they're in this conversation means that everybody's going to have to step their game up, which I think is ultimately a good thing. If I ultimately don't ever play anything on Stadia again because I'm on, you know, Microsoft xCloud or whatever, I'm fine with Stadia still being there because it pushes that sense of competition.
And if they get cheaper, like, I'm not going to hesitate to do that either.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
If they're like, okay, yeah, we're charging too much here, we'll drop the price.
Or if they step up their software. Because they're still, like, so one of the question marks, and this is if it could work on your end, what could be something that pulls you in, there's a potential. Rockstar has unannounced games for Stadia. They had Rockstar's logo in their presentation. They've kind of teased that there's something Rockstar happening there. There's a possibility that Red Dead 2 comes to Stadia. And especially if they have that as kind of a PC exclusive, you know, that you can play it on Stadia, but you can't buy it off Steam or anywhere else at this point. That would be a big deal, right? Like, that would be something that would get people to go to Stadia.
Perhaps, because the thing with the exclusive and the thing that really sucks about gaming at this point is nothing is ever, well, it doesn't suck. It depends on your perspective. It doesn't matter what they say. Nothing is ever really exclusive at this point.
Sure.
Like, whether it's 6 months or a year or whatever, if they say this is the only place you can play Red Dead for 6 months, a year, whatever it is, and somebody will find that out because those guys at Kotaku are annoying.
Isn't that the truth?
And somebody will find that out, and when we figure out what that number is, as bad as I want to play Red Dead, we're in chapter 2.
Right.
Right? Like that's not really something that I'm in a hurry about.
Yeah.
So
that's absolutely fair. But
if exclusive means exclusive, then absolutely you got me. But it never means exclusive.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's totally true. That's what they need to kind of have that stand out to bring a lot of people in, I think. What I've seen on the Twitterverse is, like, just really polarized, either like, I've already got my Founders Edition, or why in the world, Google, are you doing this? I feel like an outlier in that I'm like, yeah, I think it might be pretty cool, and there's a decent chance that they get my money, but there's a decent chance that they don't. You know, like, I feel like for most people, it's been much more polarizing on that front. So,
I think it depends drastically on where you live.
100%.
Right?
100%.
Like, if you live in a city or a state where there's internet everywhere, then you're going to be all about this.
Yeah. One more techie thing to throw in here, because I've seen this pop up several times on Twitter. They announced or said that in order to do the 4K streaming, if you're streaming at 4K, you're going to go through a terabyte of bandwidth in 65 hours of gameplay. Now, God bless you if you're playing 65 hours a game of games in a month. I definitely am not, but there are plenty of people that do. We also have bandwidth caps on a lot of ISPs. I'm fortunate I don't have a bandwidth cap, which is really, really nice, but I used to, and I hit it, and you know, like, my internet got throttled, and that sucks.
And what's worse is they're not throttling anymore. What they do now is if you hit it, they're like, yeah, you owe us $10.
Yeah.
For another gig or terabyte or whatever it is.
Yes.
That's when it gets scary.
Yeah. That's kind of sneaky stuff. And so that's another component. Again, you may have the download speed, but if you eat through all of your available bandwidth and end up paying, you know, $200 extra a month because of how much your overage was, that's going to suck and you're probably going to be unhappy. And so there are so many variables that you have to be aware of. And again, like, I think for their target audience at this point, like, I feel like they're really, the fact that Baldur's Gate was like their first, you know, kind of showing off game thing means that they're not like trying to be like a casual, you know, like a game platform at this point.
They didn't go, hey, look, Halo.
Yes. Or right. Something that's, you know, Madden. They have NBA 2K. They could have showed off NBA 2K, and they didn't. Whatever it is, they went with something that was nerdy, you know, that was hardcore gamer to try to get people excited for it. And I think that's smart of them to start there. Because if you're somebody that's into Baldur's Gate, there's also a good chance you have good internet. You know, like, those things aren't completely correlated, but there's at least probably a better correlation there than somebody who's into Fortnite or into, you know, whatever. Not that those people don't also have good internet, but they probably aren't as savvy or as aware of some of those other things. The flip side of that, if you're somebody that's excited about Baldur's Gate, you've probably got another platform to play it on too. And so there's kind of a give and take to that we'll see how it plays out. So,
and I'm noticing, and I like this generation, here comes the curmudgeon-y part of the, okay, like I told you guys, I work with three guys that are under 30. Right? They are. And we hired a new guy. And this guy comes in and he's like, I love games. And I have every emulator under the sun. Right? So, like, I go to work on Tuesday. And every guy in the shop, and I hope my brother doesn't hear this, is running various versions of Nintendo games on one of their screens. And I'm thinking, are we trying to run some retail here or are we playing video games? And it's slow enough that, like, you can get away with that because it's an emulator, you can pause, you can save, whatever. But this dude, which I'm not going to say his name because I don't... It just made me feel icky. He figured out that one of the other guys had not played The Witcher 3. And he said, dude, I can get you a DRM-free copy of that. And I'm like, this is, like, that's pretty sketchy. And we were sketchy when we were kids.
Yes.
And they're all sketchy.
Yes.
And they don't care. But those are the people that you're selling to, and they're looking at it going, why would I do that when I can get this stuff for free?
Can I make the counterpoint of that, though?
Sure.
Because I think that's valid, but I think that there's also the kind of iTunes effect here. By the way, iTunes is going away, which is bizarre. We're so old. Like, we've seen the full lifespan of... Anyway, the idea that this could be so easily accessible that, again, literally runs in a Chrome browser. It could not be easier to connect to. Like, that's one of the brilliant things about playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey on it. It's like I literally just had a bookmark I clicked on, and it just opens up, goes full screen, done. Like, I'm in. You know, like, it was so quick, so seamless, so easy. That just like iTunes was a huge help against piracy, even though it cost money, because it was approachable and simpler, because in the same way that Steam has been a great help against piracy in the PC game industry, not that it doesn't still exist, obviously it does, but it has been minimized, at least in some part, because of easier access. I think this is yet another way that you just have easier access to games. If I've got to pay $10 a month, but I just click on a link and there it is, whatever game, you know, like, I have access to, it just pops up. I don't have to install a game. Like, honestly, like, I get super annoyed like when I get a new game on the PlayStation, because every freaking one of them has an install now. And the, whatever network card is in my PlayStation, the first PlayStation 4 model, is so freaking slow, my gigabit internet doesn't matter because I only get 3 megs down on my PlayStation 4. I have to download the game, and then the stupid thing has to install, and it takes forever. Like, it's not just plug and play, you know? Like, it really takes a long time for me to get into a game. If I can just click on a link and I'm in a game that I want to play, like, just that quick, that to me is a reason not to pirate. Then I don't have to go through torrents. I don't have to worry about like VPNs or my ISP getting pissed at me or whatever, you know, like just click on a link and go. And so I get it. Like 20 something year olds are always going to pirate. We pirated when we were 20 something year olds. But eventually the convenience just wins out there. And then you go, oh yeah, this is really easy. I'll just do that. And so I would almost argue that that's a way to get those people in as opposed to something that's going to keep them out.
I hope so, because when I figured out how much crap this guy had, this is me that has at some point stolen everything there is to steal. I saw what this guy was doing, and I'm like looking around going, okay, this is sketchy.
I am.
Because there are things that I will still go grab and not think about it that are not game related.
Sure.
And so it vastly depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
And you're right, 20-year-olds are always going to pirate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's part of it. So, all that being said, there's your first E3 episode talking again. Weirdly enough about Google, but thanks Google for getting into gaming. At least makes things interesting.
Yeah, and what I'm going to be interested in is seeing whether or not this goes over this week, because whether E3 is what it was, whether it's dying, whatever, Stadia is going to be under a massive microscope for the next 7 days. If you can survive that as Google, you got a shot.
Yeah. I really think that's a good point of what are we talking about a week from now between Google and Microsoft and anything else we hear about between now and then. But I think Google and Microsoft are two big players here. If everything's like, oh my God, Microsoft's doing this amazing thing and nobody's talking about Stadia, I think that both reflects it negatively on Google, obviously, but also reflects wisely on them to do this like 2 days before E3 kind of launch, so that they at least get a couple of days in the news cycle, so that when November gets here, we go, oh yeah, Stadia, we heard about that, you know, back whenever. Maybe still don't have a super positive correlation with it, maybe don't care anymore, whatever. I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah, we'll see where Stadia is a week from now, and that'll tell us a lot about how wise their rollout was and what it looks like going forward.
So I'm really realizing that we didn't prep appropriately because this is the beginning of E3, and I was stupid enough not to say, hey, it's E3 on all our social media.
Right.
and so with that being said, you know how to get a hold of us. You know how all that works. This is our first official show. I have no idea what episode this is. Zero.
We're going to call it episode one.
Okay.
It's just we're going. We're in. E3's here, my
friend. It is E3. And we're excited. All of a sudden, I'm losing my voice, so I apologize. Like, just all at once, it's like, nope, sorry. So, yeah, you know where we're at. We're on the Facebook. We're on the Twitter. I guess we need an Instagram.
Okay.
Like, it makes me cringe, but I guess we need an Instagram. So, if somebody knows about Instagram,
help us out.
Please set one up, because we don't know. So, yeah, find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. You know the Gmail. It's gaminguncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
We will take content for all of those during these shows.
Absolutely.
this week is all about you. It is not about us. It is all about you and getting you the content that you deserve because we're lazy and we don't do anything the rest of the year.
But this is when we do stuff.
This is all about you. We want you to be involved. Please, 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 please get involved.
Yes, 100%. Anything else we need to discuss? I think we're good. We're going to be back with more E3 shows coming up. They're going to be kind of sporadic because the schedule's kind of sporadic. And so just like be watching your feed. We'll pop up pretty regularly over the next week. So we'll be there, I promise. Just don't set your watch to anything because we have no clue.
That they're used to that. We've been doing this for
100%.
How many years? And yeah. they just gotta get shows whenever they get shows.
They'll show up. So. Yeah, we've never had any schedules. So, other than that, I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is Gaming Uncensored's coverage of E3 2019. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com. And we are out. Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.